right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
That was Chuck doing the hey now.
Hey now.
Hank Kingsley.
Thank you, HBO Go. I am now watching the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
What?
It's
fantastic. I'm in the first season.
It does hold up.
Still loving it. We are already off course. John, how are you?
You'll see.
To let our listeners know, it's an audio format. Visually, John is wearing a bright orange UT Vols colored shirt with the three stars representing the three sections of the state.
No.
Or representing something else.
These three stars are wrestling? Representing the Macho Man Randy Savage wrestling tights.
Oh yeah,
brother.
Well, it's a common, seems a natural misunderstanding for myself.
I do wear it for Tennessee games quite often.
Yeah, so John is in all orange. Chuck, across from me, is wearing all red, mm-hmm. Cincinnati Reds gear, including a t-shirt that says, I'm with Pete, give me $200 on the Reds.
Yeah, that's right.
Topical, timely.
It is. Free Pete Rose.
Maybe I feel not. Closer to you now. Pete Rose has been on the TV a lot lately.
Has he?
Kicking ass, taking names. The post game on the baseball games is, listen to this triumvirate. Pete Rose, Big Hurt Frank Thomas, A-Rod.
Ooh.
That's a lot of personality. Those are
luminaries.
You just actually named three baseball players that I know who they are.
That's right. I think that's what they're going for.
Which is a very difficult triumvirate to pull off.
And
with me.
Pete Rose talks in like crazed Carney speak, and Frank Thomas and A-Rod have no idea what he's saying.
Is Frank ever. Thomas all fat and gross now, or does he still look like a brick of a man?
Yeah, he kind of just looks like a thwomp from one of the Mario Brothers games. One of those blocks that falls from the sky with a grimace on its face. He's impressive.
Did we have a chance to eat breakfast today?
Well, that's what I want to get to. I have found out that an unofficial Fast Break Breakfast sponsor, Charlie Bob's.
Oh, that's the secret. We have to bleep that out. We don't want people going there, right?
Oh, we want people going there.
Okay.
But they can't.
Okay. Is it closing?
It's been sold and is closing.
Charlie Bob's, a great little breakfast eatery.
Someone told me Lady Gaga bought it.
Who told you that?
I don't know. I heard it on the streets.
Good Lord.
We had Lady Gaga here in East Nashville doing a dive bar.
You need new sources stat.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga playing an underground secret show. So secret. Like, the police are out stopping traffic because everyone knows it's happening.
Right. Yeah. And they shut the venue down, which isn't even a dive bar.
That's a secret. Like, Donald Trump being connected to Vladimir Putin is a secret.
Right. But it was awful. And, yeah, I heard one of the people say that our favorite egg and meat place, Charlie Bob's, was getting bought by her.
Yeah,
I didn't believe it at all.
Dang it.
I didn't believe it at all.
That does sound better.
It does.
Although, who knows what she would do? She'd probably put snakes in it everywhere. So seek to be an eatery and just be a snakery.
So, John, you're just upset at the news of Charlie Bob's going away?
Yep. So I'm on a hunger strike.
You're on a breakfast strike?
That's
yeah.
Great.
It's lasting till lunch.
Well, I had, because remember I was on that fast last week?
Yeah, you yep. The death and from the, a bun was,
looked
was,
like it
was
worked.
A little too much death.
Yeah, I ate a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin.
There we go. That's the Chuck we love.
Two for $3.50. I had two of them from old Mickey D's.
Decent rate.
Do you ever just put them together and make like a Big Mac of breakfast sandwich?
I've thought about it. What I like to do is just take one in each hand and stone cold Steve Austin them into my face.
Steve Weiser them?
It's Steve Weiser them. So, yeah, I just squeeze them until they're
what?
Waterous, you know, watery kind of like gel, and then it just comes into my face.
That's very the best smart. Part about the Crystal Burger is the burger and the bread is liquid.
It's like a wet meat
paste.
Napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going from the unofficial eatery of Fast Break Breakfast, Charlie Bob's, to the borderline official breakfast eatery, Sam and Zoe's.
Did you eat like a sugar crystal sandwich?
I ate a pumpkin donut.
Ugh.
And I know a lot of us, we get kind of upset about the seasonal pumpkin spice and everything.
I don't know.
But
I have
the
anything against
pumpkin
it.
Donut, it was great.
Well, yeah.
Fantastic execution.
I heard the NBA was now sponsored by pumpkin spice Gatorade. So
is that real? No. Please.
It should be. It makes it.
I would drink it just to know.
You should put the Oklahoma City should have that as their team sponsor patch.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin what spice is it? It's just Gatorade. Sugar and like cardamom, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Allspice? Is there some allspice
yeah,
in there?
Like maybe maybe a dash of nutmeg.
Does the pumpkin donut taste like pumpkin pie?
It really, it was, yeah. I would say that's accurate. It was. It wasn't too much. Again,
was it? Was it a jelly donut filled with pumpkin pie?
I think that would be too much.
I would eat that.
You would eat that.
Donut.
It's kind of what your shirt looks like. All the orange.
The filling.
Anyway, after our breakfasts, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies, and this is our chance often to talk about basketball for the first time. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'm not apologizing about basketball. I'm apologizing about going on a juice cleanse last week. That was awful. Yeah. I had all
cleansing fire.
All sorts of things coming out of my body I didn't intend to. Smells that were just unbecoming of an officer.
But what about, as a veteran. Mm-hmm. What about the plan for the artisanal V8?
Oh, that East was Nashville Eatery. In the ceramic jars. Yeah, it died in its crib. that I did.
Sit.
But we gotta put. You can go ahead and mark that down.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing.
Apology for
next week. I will apologize for
sudden infant Bloody Mary death syndrome. Sibums.
That's pretty horrifying. I'll go ahead and apologize. I talking about Brandon Jennings talked about how he'd never shot 40% in his career. That's my bad. In his third season, he shot 41.8% from the field.
Well, darn.
Also, in a couple years ago, before the injury in Detroit, he shot exactly 40.1% in 41 games before tearing his Achilles. So, my apologies, Brandon Jennings. You have shot over 40%, well, like 1.5 times.
Good on you.
Yep.
My apology is it goes deeper than that. So, I was listening back to our show, and I besmirched Miles Turner.
Yes. You said, we sure he's good?
Are we sure he's good?
Right.
And I went back. I got into my Uta Hagen acting training and did my sense memory. I want to know if this ever happens to you guys. The reason I get mad at Miles Turner is because in fantasy basketball, he would often not play for long stretches of time. And he was good enough, talented enough that this is, in fact, what kind of ran Vogel out of town and precipitated the switch, apparently, is that Larry Bird would get so mad because he wanted Turner to play. What's the worst thing you guys have done as far as your opinion of a player being infected by fantasy or just dislike?
Well, I actually didn't play fantasy until last year.
Right.
Like, I'd gone about 15 years. I mean, my worst opinion being off might have been when Zach Randolph came to the Grizzlies. I was... apoplectic.
You did not want to.
Because he was so horrible. Yeah. Like the years before he came to the Grizzlies.
How many years of him playing for you did it take before?
Oh, like a half. Almost nothing. Almost nothing because he was 20-10 out of the box. And it was like, this guy's amazing.
I once drafted Josh Smith with my first pick.
Woo!
Yeah. If I believe the hype.
Well, I guess still you hate him because
deliver.
In 2 years of 40% free throw shooting later.
Yeah.
And chucking threes that he was never going to make.
I read this thing that he, it was when he was in Atlanta and it was like one of those fantasy upsides. You can take him in the early first round.
Gets blocks.
Yeah, he's like a stat stuffer. That's what they would say. But they, didn't realize that my league counted field goal percentage.
I have a theory that Dwight Howard's league-wide hatred stems from him never making free throws in fantasy.
Really could.
Yeah.
If you play in like a categories league and you have Dwight Howard, you have given up on the category.
Either that or his caustic personal relationships that destroy the teams he's on.
Mm-hmm. And
that's the other thing.
How many kids does Dwight have? Eight.
He has
eight children.
He has eight children and five made three-pointers in his career. So he's made more babies than three-pointers.
I imagine his sperm-to-egg percentage is probably higher than his free throw percentage.
Yeah. Shout out whoever, Bleacher Report, who... Put that graphic.
Infographic.
Is that a what is this?
No, I was saying more made babies than three-pointers.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
8-5.
That
I don't know.
That is disturbing.
That number might be off, but it's close.
It doesn't matter. It's close.
It'll be something we can apologize
for. Believable.
For another time. Well, after our apologies, now that we've made right our souls, what's your steak and eggs best thing? What's the best thing you saw this week?
Speaking of free throws and Houston Rockets... Chinanu Onuaku.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's shooting underhanded free throws.
Nice.
I love it.
It's him and that other Barry kid who's in college still.
Yeah. And they're just going in. He played at Louisville.
Yeah.
And he's now given up on the overhand free throw and is actually, I don't know if it's working.
He's the new grandmama.
That's it. And it's I like it. I like it when people are just like, yeah, I don't care if I look silly.
I mean, was a whole.
If it works, it works.
Hell yeah, it works.
It's hard. It's hard not to make it like that,
Rick Barry wasn't afraid.
No, he wasn't. It was a smart man.
Was just afraid. That's what if Shaq had done it?
I wish he would have.
I mean, there's that whole Malcolm Gladwell revisionist history. He did a whole podcast episode about underhand free throws, and Onuaku is one of the only guys in the world who's willing to try it.
It's amazing.
Outside of the social stigma. He doesn't care.
No, why
would he? Man's just trying to win a game.
Deep thoughts with Onuaku.
Yeah, that's great. My best thing is, I mean, there's so many things to choose from because it's all happening. The basketball is all happening. There's preseason everywhere.
All over me.
Right. But I think maybe the best thing I'll pick is just, you know, we don't do a preseason international Stackhouse of Pancakes, but checking those box scores.
Oof.
And I see Tim Hardaway Jr. throwing up a 1-for-13 in 22 minutes.
It
gets those shooters going to shoot. It gets those juices flowing. Lets me know an ice shop is coming. Might have Tim Hardaway's name all over it.
Can't wait for us to actually meet Jerry Stackhouse and him punch us all three up once with one.
Coach of the Raptors 905.
One swing.
Yep. So that's my best thing is
turn us into blood mist.
Seeing those Stackhouse of Pancakes watch. The watch is on.
Well, my best thing is I somehow found myself listening to JJ Redick's podcast.
Yep.
The most recent one with Zach Lowe on it. And if you've ever listened to Zach Lowe, you realize he's very dry.
Yep.
But
love you, Zach.
In comparison,
right?
Zach Lowe is Milton Berle when in the room with JJ Redick. But JJ Redick finally one of his sponsors this week, and he read an ad for it at the top of the show, so you don't have to listen to the whole show. JJ Redick, watch enthusiast, endorsed by a watch company.
He finally got a watch company.
In my mind, I could see small galaxies forming in his eyes, the hair standing up on his neck. He was titillated while reading that ad, and it brought me joy.
That's a good one. I'm actually glad. Redick, his last two guests, Zach Lowe and Steve Ballmer, incredible.
I did not listen to
The Ballmer one. The Ballmer one makes Steve Ballmer so likable.
He is purportedly likable.
I mean, right. You just see the funny things of him just being goofy so exuberant at the Clippers games, but him talking about like making Chuck the Condor and all the stuff about buying the Clippers and I don't know, him talking about how he taxes and things. I was just blown away. It also made me happy that the season was starting. So maybe JJ Redick would quit releasing so many awesome podcasts. Cause I mean, it's hard out here.
Right. Yeah.
Competitors don't need an NBA player doing such an awesome podcast.
I'll tell you this. I have never made it to the end of a Redick podcast.
Well, that's what the skip's for. You got to listen to like 1.5 speed too, at least.
He also seems very personable,
yeah.
But it just doesn't come through in the podcast. And then it always kind of drifts back to watches.
It does. All right. Now the opposite of that, the opposite of our steak and eggs is our cream of wheat. Worst of week. What's the worst thing that's happened in the last week?
Samaj Criston, you taking money out of my children's mouths.
I have no idea who's that?
Samaj Criston.
What team?
Thunder. Drafted by the horrible draft-picking Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Missed a dunk and a three-pointer to not cover last night in an NBA preseason game that I bet on.
Yeah.
This is the Thunder-Mavs game?
I hope that you return to, let's see what horrible... Consult Invest Pizarro. That's his pro team before this, or Consult Invest, actually. Consult Invest. You return there and be gone from my beloved NBA, you worthless chucking, miss dunking fool.
Blew the cover in garbage time, huh?
Makes him mad. Nothing makes John mad more than that.
It's a tough way to go.
It really is. Friendships for him.
It makes you pound your desk.
Yeah.
Like a Coen Brothers. Hollywood mogul.
Yeah.
So angry.
Well,
that's about all I can complain about in preseason basketball, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Just losing money, you know, it's no big deal.
Well, you could have.
But you're still winning. You've been having a good preseason, right?
I have had a good preseason.
He's killing it in the WNBA.
Oh, yeah. Dog. Don't even get me started on my Sparks and my Lynx.
So, my worst, obviously, as a Heat fan, has to be the news that the Heat are expected to delay waiving Chris Bosh until after the playoff deadline. So that he cannot play his 25 games with another team, and thus the Heat have to pay him with their salary cap. So basically the situation is, if Bosch is waived and plays 25 games for another team within the next calendar year, the Heat have to pay his salary. But if they cut him and he does not, it will give them the opportunity for him not to play 25 total games, and they can clear that cap space off their books and have next year a gargantuan amount of cap space to play with.
In my mind, I thought this is more petty. because like he can play 25 games next year and it's the same effect.
Right.
To the Heat. Like as long, I think it's his natural contract. Like, so if he ever comes back, that they're on the hook.
From my reading of it, it has to be within a calendar year.
There's war on the shore.
But still, the calendar year would still go towards, you know, like, I don't know. So they're trying to game it. So, because again, it seems petty to me. Like,
so they're not screwing
Bosch? They think he might have a chance to play and they don't want him to play for a playoff team.
Here's my thought. Oh, well, he would immediately go sign with LeBron for the minimum.
Or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors.
Or even the Raptors, who have a gaping hole at power forward.
Yeah.
I see you
he
selling
could come there. Home. He could come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to dinosaur land.
Double reverse LeBron.
But that's, you know, the way I see it is if, let's say, he is cleared by doctors in the meantime, the Heat wouldn't want him off their roster because then they wouldn't be able to play him. And if they have to pay him, they would like him to be in a Heat uniform.
Right.
That's my thought behind it. But, and I haven't heard any specific words from the Heat, as in them saying, no, he'll never play for us. It's like, no, he's you know, injured basically with a severe illness, and we don't want him, you know, killing himself basically on our team.
To me, I thought like a week ago, Pat Riley had burned the bridges and being like, Bosch is done with our franchise. It's like, we can't claim to play and we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was news to Bosch, who got very upset. And that's when he came out with like, there's 29 other teams. And if you think you're going to turn my illness into cap space, you got another thing coming.
Right.
So then again, this seems to me adding on that they're just saying, well, we're not going to give you any freedom to help find a team. But I don't know. Again, I'm not an expert on the salary issue there and what it means. But
we'll look it up and apologize next week.
Yeah, yeah. It's still sad that he is in this situation. And again, it keeps seeming worse and worse. Also, Goran Dragic came out, I want to say in the last 24 hours, talking about how like...
This isn't what
I signed up for.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, I came to play with...
You know who sign up for it? Ben Udra.
Yeah, he did.
Ben Udra's back for that $2.5 million
or
whatever.
And he's in Dwayne Wade's locker, so that should be able to confuse a bunch of people. But yeah, that Dragic is definitely kind of in this position where he thought he would be kind of, you know, leading a team with a top five power forward. And now he has, you know, a center who's a probably top five center. In Hassan Whiteside, that he's, you know, and they've been looking decent in the preseason.
I will say the weird thing about Dragic's situation is he thought he was going to be playing alongside Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Whiteside, which that is not a great fit
for
Goran Dragic.
Right.
Actually, even though they'll probably be much worse, actually now the court seems like it's wide open.
Right.
They have a bunch of kind of undersized guys. Mm-hmm. They don't have a power forward.
Fantasy light, Goran will probably be relevant.
Yeah. So it seems like Goran might have more freedom to run his own team. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my cream of wheat worst of week is, how in the world are these NBA teams not televising their preseason games? Like an ultimate frisbee tournament?
I think they all assume that we have illegal Russian websites.
So there's not even illegal Russian websites of some of these games.
Yeah, some of them, there's no cameras.
Like there's no cameras, but there even are cameras because they show highlights and it's from a centralized video feed that they're actually, you know, there's like the three camera feed going that they're cutting together stuff from. So it drives me crazy.
You ever heard of contempt for your audience?
Yeah, that's what
we have that.
That's what it feels like. I mean, I assume there's some kind of TV contract thing worked out. But like if Fox Sports or whoever isn't going to show the game, like how can these teams not figure out a way to monetize showing a video stream? It is so cheap now.
Maybe the Sixers are trying to hide Joel the process Embiid.
And that's even one of the points. Like Joel Embiid has now played three preseason games.
Yep.
Two of them have not been televised.
I would have watched all three end to end.
NBA fans, Sixer fans, have been waiting for years to watch this man play basketball.
Literally years.
We don't know how many games Joel Embiid is ever going to play.
Right.
He might only play 10 games ever. So far, he's played three, and two of them haven't been televised.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? Like, the Hawks showed a scrimmage on Facebook, and it got like a million hits.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Mavericks, shout out Mavericks, they showed their game against the Pelicans on Facebook. Like, hundreds of thousands of people are tuning in. Do they not understand that there's enough NBA fans with an insatiable desire that we will watch a really garbage video feed?
Absolutely.
Online?
I mean, there's enough NBA fans to have a breakfast-themed podcast for 2,500 people to listen to.
I mean, if I could have just seen those three games, I probably would have bet even more money on Joel Embiid to win Rookie of the Year.
That's right. Well, I mean, it just kills me. I mean, literally, it's not expensive.
Because of the NBA I have watched, I am now changing my vote to Buddy Hield.
Well, yeah. That's the fun thing. I guess we will get to it in one point, and it actually might affect the rest of our show.
I don't think Buddy Hield misses shots.
There you go. The preseason is fun because small sample sizes. I thought your best thing, Chuck, might have been that Whiteside is averaging something like 35, 19, and 6 blocks per 36 right now.
Good gravy.
Yeah. So, so the rest of the show, we are going to talk about the Western Conference and who got better or worse, but it's definitely, we try not to be too swayed by the small sample size of preseason and who's looked really good. Before we get there, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. Fan Essentials is a subscription service for the extreme sports fan where you get gear from whatever team you want. You pick your favorite team. They send you gear and collectibles every month. They have packages starting at $14.99. Enter the code FBBF and you get 30% off your subscription, and we get a few bucks to keep us going over here. So go to fanessentials.net, use the code FBBF, and get all the essentials you need. Remember, if you write an iTunes review for us, you'll be entered to win a box of Fan Essentials. We give out one or two boxes every month, so go ahead and write those October reviews and be entered to win a Fan Essentials box. Also, I want to tell you about Loot Crate. It's like Fan Essentials, but it is for geek, gamer, and pop culture gear. The October theme is horror, and your Loot Crate box will contain collectibles from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. So head on over to lootcrate.com/fastbreak, enter code FASTBREAK to save $3 off your new subscription of Loot Crate today. All right, now we are going to talk about the Western Conference, and if you were with us last week or last year, we did a very simple formula. Most teams come into the regular season thinking their offseason was a success, and they improved. So our take is, I can't believe they're not better. It's a thing.
Never explain the joke, Keith. Yeah. Never explain.
So anyway, we play butter or worse, parquet, if you will.
Parquet.
So butter or worse, the very simple thing, we look at a team, we try to go quickly through all of them, and just say, are they butter or worse? So, John, you're going to read out some teams.
Let's start in the, thanks to Seattle leaving somewhat contradictorily named, Northwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get it going with one of my favorite rosters, Denver Nuggets. Butter or parquet?
Well, the Denver Nuggets, pretty much they just set. They set Pat. Pat of butter, get it?
Don't you? Mm.
They set Pat.
Quit explaining the jokes.
They drafted Jamal Murray.
I'm sad about King Joffrey leaving.
King Joffrey going is no good, but they also...
It was so funny when they had that triptych of same guys.
Yeah. Right. All those Eastern European sort of centers. But they did kind of get back, like a free agent acquisition. Wilson Chandler is back,
right,
reportedly healthy.
Danilo will be healthier.
Rooster will play another half of the season.
Likely.
So I think they're butter. Same team, plus you add a top pick, and then you get Wilson Chandler back. You're better.
I'm going butter because from what I've seen, as far as what he's done with his body and how he's playing right now, Yusuf Nurkic, I think, is going to be a much better player this year. And then I feel like Moutier has to improve. And if he just becomes a serviceable point guard, that should be great.
Right. They let Moutier learn on the fly last year. He got all the minutes. You know, they let him make all the mistakes. And so this is a team totally with internal improvements should be a big part of it. Nurkic, Jokic coming off an awesome second half of the season where he played. Moutier going to get better. And then again, the veterans getting back.
And let's not forget, they have one of the greatest names in the NBA, Axel Toupain.
Whoa.
Axel Toupain might be a roster casualty. I think it's coming down to him and Jakar Sampson.
I hope they keep the Axel.
Wow. I can't even believe what's happening to me right now. I'm hearing Axel's theme in my head and seeing Tupac in my head at the same time.
That's pretty good. So
I would go that they will be better with Chandler coming back and these young guys kind of sharpening their teeth in the offseason. I think they have a good chance of getting up there. However, that division is maniacal, so they may not have a better.
It's tough, but
they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot,
right?
Which is good for them, and that's better. Right. So yeah, we got three butters for Denver.
Next gets to the very trendy and very youthful, spry, but suddenly coached by someone not so youthful and spry, Minnesota Timberwolves,
This is like the we could run back the exact same thing we said. This team didn't do much. Like they added Chris Dunn, they added Cole Aldrich, who apparently the Ringer's Chris Vernon from Memphis doesn't even know where he was a decent basketball player. But oh well.
I'm excited for Tibbs to eschew all these amazing young studs and play Nemanja Bjelica like 25 minutes.
Free Nemanja. Free Nemanja.
I think Brandon Rush gives him a little shooting. That could help stretch the floor a little bit, but Big Cat is shooting his face off in the preseason.
Well, and any basketball game he's played.
Yeah. He's looking like they have the right kind of mix of players to do better. But again, crazy Northwest Division.
I desperately want to say Parquet because I think that this roster makeup is confusing to me. Like, I don't even understand how they're going to get Chris Dunn on the court, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think the Tibbs factor will keep them at least as good as last year.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, Tibbs, Sam Mitchell, gentleman of a human being by all accounts.
That's at least a 10-game difference.
Right. So, I mean, just
a lot.
The growth of the young core, adding Tibbs, getting defense. They were terrible at defense last year.
Yeah.
So, butter. I mean, I think they're clearly butter.
And this is as the roster stands now. I could see them moving. You know, if Chris Dunn turns out to be something nice.
If he turns out.
Moving Rubio, maybe Pekovic. you know, it could work. It could work in their favor to have all this roster.
I'm with you, John.
Clutter.
Where it feels a little Parquet in the fact that they it's stagnate.
I don't see them as a playoff team.
Yeah, I feel like the expectations might be growing too far if Cat makes a leap. But they didn't, again, do a whole ton. They had some options, and it felt like they kind of sat on their hands. But anyway, so yeah, they're, we all think they're butter.
And here comes the easiest one to knock.
right.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. Parquet.
Yeah, I mean, there's not what are you going to do.
There's no way they could be better. Yeah, they're specifically worse than last year. However, will their roster now focusing around Westbrook, getting an extra 15 touches a game, mean that they can be a different kind of dangerous ball club? I think that's definitely possible. So, you know, you're not going to have the same kind of, you know, top two, three, you know.
No, because two of their top three players are gone.
You're not going to have the same kind of good team.
Right.
You're going to have a much, much worse team.
They're going to have the, you know, probably an MVP candidate in Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. They don't have a forward.
No.
I mean, they don't have the...
Ersan Ilyasova is going to come Frankenstein's monster head.
I love Ilyasova. Mm-hmm. Like he's a guy I adore.
And the aforementioned King Joffrey.
He's not a small forward. No. I guess Andre Roberson is going to start at the three alongside Oladipo. I don't know. Kyle Singler? Like, there's a gaping, mawing wound.
Yeah.
Worse.
Definitely worse.
So worse. Let's move on.
Yeah,
unless John, you needed to.
It's not even fun.
It's not fun. It's not even fun talking about the Thunder.
Let's talk about the sneaky rebuild of last year and the Blazers. By the way, Dame Lillard, ridiculous right now. He's one of the most fun guys to watch in preseason because he does not have to worry about defense at all and knows it.
Well, he just plays his regular season game.
Correct.
Right.
Just no one gets mad at him for it.
Right. So I think as obvious as I think the last three have been, I'm curious what you guys are going to say here. This is an interesting one.
Right.
For me.
I think this team could take a step backwards because I don't think they made the additions they need to make. So I'm going to go with Parquet. I think last year's run, while impressive, it might be not sustainable. Mm-hmm. With another year of Allen Crabb and CJ around, they're not going to sneak up on anybody this year. I don't think Festus and Evan Turner, Shabazz Napier were good pickups. I don't see any offseason moves that really kind of swayed me one way or another, and I think the West is an improving conference, so I think they might be slightly worse.
We have a subtraction by addition with Evan Turner, it seems like.
Right.
I don't get... I feel like they're gonna be good. I think, you know, playoff team clearly, unless something weird happens. I feel like they're also kind of stood pat.
You used stagnant earlier, and that's how I feel about the Blazers.
Yeah, they're treading water. I mean, they're just kind of in there, you know.
They remind me of a team that I like a whole lot.
I mean...
Which one?
The Grizzlies. They remind me of the Grizzlies.
They might have some...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you'll see another great year from Lillard, but yeah, they're definitely worse.
I think I might say better. Just they're not. I don't think they're much worse. They're like the same squad. I mean, Evan Turner is going to be fine. Like he gets a lot of guff for the large contract.
We can only say that so many times about each team. Like it's been another year. They're going to be better.
Well, I mean, this is a team that took an unexpected jump.
Right.
Our podcast was very excited about them last year. Right.
I think there could be just sort of the regression toward the mean type thing.
They made the second round pretty much because Blake Griffin and Chris Paul got hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this team only won, I think, 44 games last year, and they're going to be around there again.
I could see them winning like 38, 39 games.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in the 40s comfortably. So I don't know if I'll say better. I think maybe Evan Turner will do some things on the second unit. Maybe they'll get some improvements from front court play. Maybe Alan Crabb is actually going to be good. Maybe he hasn't. Capped out? He's probably capped out.
I think
there'll
be Marger and Alili. Mm-hmm.
They do need a backup point guard, and they didn't really address that. I mean, Brian Roberts, they let him go, and he's better than Shabazz Napier, so I don't... Yeah.
That brings us to a team that I think will churn out the wins this year, the Utah Jazz. Butter with a bullet.
This is me desperately not explaining churn. Oh, yeah, this is... I think the Jazz are easy. They're a hot pick. They're... Yeah.
They really improved their team.
They made their team way better.
Yeah.
They got rid of
Trey Burke.
And they brought in George Hill, who is good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Even though I feel like he might have gotten overrated. Not overrated. Everyone talks about how good he is so much now that I feel maybe it's just among like the
Twitterati.
Yeah, the Twitterati, the NBA.
I love the veterans they picked up.
Yeah. Also, Trey Lyles. Summer league and preseason looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like as a backup shooting four, Joe Johnson's going to be great for them.
I've often conflated Trey Lyles and Miles Turner.
Oh, it's so
into one super
it's
player.
It's so confusing. So yeah, I mean, Exum is back. He's healthy. Like he's going to add some great defense. Gobert should stay healthier this year.
I've got him in the playoffs. I think
if they're not way better, I think
it's
that's
a disaster.
I think that's a indictment of. Friend of the show.
Angry Quinn Snyder.
Murderous Quinn Snyder, who we think is great, but if, after missing the playoffs unexpectedly, kind of the last two-ish years, like...
Degenerate gambling tip. He likes to win in the preseason.
Mm. My concern with this team is Bojan Diaw cooking all that duck l'orange. getting old Rudy Gobert fat.
Too much sweet tea in the... Tabernacle crowd.
That's it. I think.
Do they even allow espresso makers in Utah?
I don't think so. I think they're explicitly banned in the state constitution.
He's going to have to sneak his bottle of wine into the locker room.
But yeah, I'm going to go better. I think the additions with Joe Johnson, George Hill, I think those are, they were a decent team. And you got Quinn Snyder, who's going to murder face everybody into motivating themselves to probably a low playoff seed. So yeah, they're better.
No, yeah, there's no question.
Let's move on. To the Pacific.
And with
this may have been even easier than the Thunder, the Golden State Warriors.
If you really wanted to, you could try to work up some weird narrative that the lack of depth.
Good luck.
But I won't. Yeah. No. You had Kevin Durant. Butter.
They added David West.
Yeah, I like that. And Zaza. I like both of those pickups.
Yeah. So you got rid of Festus.
Sucked. No rim protection.
Yeah.
No rim protection whatsoever.
Right.
But who cares? They're butter, and I'm ready to... Who cares? No one talks about this team.
Right.
Yeah, and Draymond will protect the rim by kicking you square between the balls.
Yeah. Well, you got Virgil, who's going to play 6 to 8 games. He could be...
6 to 8 games?
6 to 8, I'm sorry. But yeah, they have a little bit... I mean, David West gives you that little bit of, kind of anger down low, so it could, in minutes give them, some toughness. But yeah, they're definitely better because they added one of the top players in the league.
I think Keith's Durant for MVP narrative is really picking up steam, too.
Hope you got on that early, guys. 2 weeks ago, I gave that one up.
I didn't. I
had the Durant fever.
I didn't believe you, and the rest of the world has caught on. And when the rest of the world catches on to that narrative, it's hard to stop it. Narrative train a-chugging.
Narrative train.
Let's move on to J.J. Redick and the ever-watchful Los Angeles Clippers. Butter or parquet, Keith? This one's interesting.
I think definitely butter. Yeah. I think under the radar, Doc Rivers, I don't know if he ceded some power secretly, didn't tell anybody. GM Doc Rivers had a really good offseason. I don't adore the nepotism of his son, and the contract, the Jabal Crawford, but all the little guys, not little, the small contracts he brought in.
Some of those are kind of fat.
Ray Felton.
Brandon,
but getting Ray Felton, I think, for the veteran minimum, that's great. Brandon Bass, that's great. Alan Anderson, for nothing. Like him getting these guys for
on Emperor minimum, Moe.
When they have no Most cap space states. To get those guys to show up to fill out the roster, I think it's fantastic. Addition by subtraction, Jeff Green. Cole Aldridge is going to be missed, but again, I think getting Brandon Bass, who was, you know what, the best player on the Lakers last year, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, very irritating player.
Yeah, like, I think it's great. So I think the Clippers stand to bounce back, and they get back Blake Griffin, who hopefully won't be suspended for punching testes.
Mm-hmm.
Did he punch testes too?
Well, that was the guy's name. The guy's
oh
name.
Yeah, that's it right.
I was that was proper noun.
Yeah. Yes.
I wasn't being proper noun. I wasn't testes. Being coarse, John.
Yeah. You weren't using a medical term.
Right.
That's funny. I think the Clippers are going to be a little better than they were last year, but they were great last year. So, you know, I think you've got those additions. You know, Dorrell Wright gives them a little bit of.
Dorrell Wright's gone.
Is he gone now?
Dorrell Wright waived today, as was.
Poor Chuck just wanted to talk about a former Heat star.
I know. Makes me sad.
Also former Grizzly, I'm not going to make a Mumford & Sons reference.
Xavier Mumford
was also released. So,
oh man,
Xavier Mumford, who
they released our talking points, Chuck.
I know
exactly. I would say Xavier.
I have only a few touchstones, and he's gone now. So
right,
Mumford's more like a lodestone.
Well, I think Mumford, he started playoff game for the Grizzlies last year. Yep. So a starting Grizzly playoff player.
I'll probably say Butter as well, slightly, but I do think that this is the type of team that like. One Chris Paul injury away from not being good.
Oh, Chris Paul injury, just trade the whole team because everyone's on expiring rosters.
Blow it up.
So that's like that worries me.
Yep. So yeah, so
if everyone somehow stays healthy, they should be good. And they're like one of the only teams that plays well against the Warriors. So we need them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NBA narrative needs them.
Let's move down the street, across the locker room, to the Lakers. Butter or parquet? I feel like we have to say Butter because you can't get any worse.
Yeah,
they're obviously Butter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is a team that small sample size preseason, and their games are televised because they're in a large market. So I've been watching their preseason games, and I'm like, I'm getting that Lakers itch. Mm. I'm being like, you know what? Maybe this will work.
The Chinese draw is going to be strong with the Lakers this year, too. They got Chairman Yi coming to town.
Chairman Yi on there. I mean, Nick Young played well.
Nick
in a
Young.
Game,
what was this?
Just like broke Twitter last night. I think
incredible defender
on Tuesday. Nick Young was like hitting threes and passing, and everyone was like, "This is incredible."
Tariq Black's been breaking Twitter as well.
Yep. So I mean, I'm excited, man. I will tell you a thing. When I was looking over the rosters preparing for this show,
the roster still sucks.
It totally slipped by me that Tariq Black is getting paid $7 million this year.
Oof. What on earth? Are you sure you didn't move a zero?
No.
Decimal?
I thought it was a typo because I use Mr. Mark Porcaro, who's an incredible Twitter follower. If you don't, he compiles all these stats of all these NBA teams just out of his own, for his hobby, his own personal pleasure. It's really awesome. But anyway, I thought maybe he made a mistake, and then I decided to Google it because like I didn't remember him signing that contract.
Yeah.
And yeah, they got what, $23 million wrapped up in Mozgov and Tariq Black.
Oof.
And Zubac might be better than both of them.
Wow.
Although Mozgov, again,
wow,
he might have a good bounce back here.
We got that.
So yeah, definitely Butter.
Yeah, I think they're Butter. You've got Dang on that roster to tie into my Heat touch points. Yeah, they're going to be able to bring on Ingram slowly with Dang starting and then kind of get him into the like, rhythm of the NBA. So, yeah, I think it'll work.
They're doing a very traditional rebuild, which I kind of enjoy since no one seems to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Get your hot young rookies, get some veterans to lead them in.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes.
Lakers have never done it.
And it's all ever. About, and Luke Walton bringing that culture. They can just bring some of that culture.
Oh, he's got them running middle school plays and laughing and giggling on the court.
Right.
They've been wonderful to bet on in the preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having all kinds of fun. So, yeah.
Let's move to one of the teams that I think is the hardest to read right now, Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say, I mean, this is a weird team where they brought in guys who probably won't help this year. They drafted players who probably won't help much on the court this year. I think Dragon has a lot of good upside. Mm-hmm. Jared Dudley, they brought in to start. But it's like, I don't know. Devin Booker, is it internal improvements they're going to be better?
This team. You talked about a team with no rim protection earlier in the Warriors. This is a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Alex Lynn, Tyson Chandler, beg your pardon?
I don't think Tyson Chandler plays that many games this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think Alex Lynn is much of a rim protector.
This is a weird, it's a strange team. They have like no what we used to consider like legit power forwards, like old power forwards. It's all going to be.
Yeah, TJ Warren's, PJ Tucker, stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tucker's out for a bit. TJ Warren's going to start.
I'm going to go Parquet. I don't think this team is built to win in the NBA right now.
Yep.
Yeah, this is hard for me too.
If Tyson Chandler bounces back maybe, but I thought he was bad.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, they didn't bring in anybody, you know, mind-blowing in the offseason. I mean, Barbosa and Dudley are both, you know, kind of on the tail end of their careers. Yeah, and, you know, they weren't specifically good last year. I think
bad is the word you're looking for.
They were specifically awful.
Specifically good, yeah.
So I would definitely go Parquet with these ones. They are not better than last year.
I don't think they're worse. I mean, obviously, if you count the beginning of the year when Bledsoe was playing, they've announced Brandon Knight's going to be the sixth man coming off the bench. Like, they're going to build around Devin Booker. So I think Devin Booker improves. Eric Bledsoe coming back. So I guess
too many guards.
I guess they're better, but I think they're bad.
Right.
I'm looking for this team to, again, talked about it on our long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Whether 500-1 to win the title or to win the West, you probably get 300-1. You're telling me they can't trade to get some assets? Zach Lowe was floating. Robert Sarver wouldn't mind getting LaMarcus Aldridge back.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the Spurs wouldn't give up LaMarcus Aldridge for like one of Miami Heat first rounders that's owed to Phoenix?
I am saying that, yes.
No, yeah.
Brandon Knight, Dragon Bender, and a first round pick. Come on now. Spurs would be incredible. Rebuild on the fly. Sarver's like, oh yeah, we'll win 38 games, make the playoffs. Do it. Book it. I'm just saying 500-1. I could put $20 on that.
From I can't believe it's not butter to perhaps worse, Sacramento Kings.
What do you even say about this team?
Parquet.
I mean, they won 32. They finally won 30 games last year.
I don't even care if they win more games. They're still worse because of the way the team is trending as a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They are run by madmen, smoking madmen. They just brought in Dave Yeager and his weird butthole goatee. He's not going to get along with Boogie Cousins. There's no way that's going to work.
No. Their new arena has glass on the outside that like pours in through the concourse, and then through the concourse, the sunlight pours through the glass onto the concourse, onto the court, where it blinds you.
Yes.
So the player, like, it's like I've played in gyms that have like windows at the top, and you're like, sometimes the right time of day, you're like, oh, I can't. This is miserable.
No shooting.
If you thought Matt Barnes couldn't shoot before.
Yeah,
wait till you see him now.
When we had when I had Greg Wisinger on talking about the Kings, and I was like, "What are you fired up for as a Kings fan?" And he's like, "Man, we got the Golden One Center opening," and I was like, "That's Stockholm syndrome." If you're fired up about it. He's like, "No, it's gonna be really cool. It's really cool." But now it's come out the angle of the seats. There's no cup holders in the upper deck because the angle of the seats didn't work. Now we got the sunlight pouring on the court. I feel bad for the Kings fans. I mean, they're kind of lovable. Their new uniforms are great. I love the new logo. Looks amazing.
Oligarch's going to oligarch, bro.
Oligarch going to oligarch. They brought in Matt Barnes, who I love.
Matt Barnes.
Secretly like Matt Barnes. He's a good player.
He's like Jaeger's assistant now.
They're going to move...
Locker room policeman.
They're going to move Rudy Gay for someone.
Yeah.
McLemore. So I feel like they're going to get better.
They will probably win more games. I just can't say anything positive about them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess they're worse. Because I don't see how the players play that fit on the team. I mean... Aflalo and Garrett Temple are like replacement level to sub replacement level.
Yeah,
I have to say one team got worse in the West, and I guess it's the Kings.
Yeah,
I don't think you're ever going to say it.
Parquet. Kings are worse.
Yeah. I think you're gonna go butter all the way, and now you just lied on this one because you know they're gonna win a few more games.
I don't think they are.
Really? Wow.
Well, I mean, they won again. I don't know. Let me. They won 33 last year. Yeah, they're not winning 33 games unless something big happens. I don't think.
Matt Barnes, second triple-double of his career.
Darren Collison is the starting point guard who somehow only got suspended 8 games for pleading guilty to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep this butter train rolling.
Right.
I think they're worse.
I mean, they're not way worse.
But no, but they're confusing. Just not, they're just not
like, what
better.
The world?
Yeah.
It's bad when they're going to miss Rajon Rondo.
Right. They just added more centers.
Mm-hmm.
Jaeger's all starting Kufus and Boogie Cousins, which demonstrably did not work the last two. Like, they've tried it for 2 years and it did not work. And that's what he's going with. So,
Dallas Mavericks. We hit the Southwest.
Southwest.
Southwest is very confusing.
I agree.
Southwest is where it gets sticky. Because I think the Mavericks are hard to tell. It's so easy to say Parquet, but I think Wes Matthews will be better again.
You assume he's on the ascendancy from his injury.
Harrison Barnes will probably be able to fulfill Chandler Parsons' role pretty easily.
Although he can't create. I mean, Harrison Barnes
true.
Not a creator.
But he should fill the same stats, I imagine.
Yep.
He can serve as a secondary scorer.
Bogut.
If Bogut can play that much, he's a great player. He can definitely do what Zaza did. I just think Rick Carlisle is probably going to take these new players and do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing they have. They have Carlisle. So I guess I'm going to say Parquet just because the war of attrition of age on Nowitzki is another year. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did exactly as well as they did last year.
Right. They ended up being the sixth seed last year.
Right.
And I'm with you that I think they could also do exactly the same. Bogut is much better than Zaza, but Zaza was fairly healthy until he kind of fell off a cliff performance-wise right. At the end of the year.
He let those all-star votes get to his head.
he really did. And Harrison Barnes, if he can play more, I don't know, man. Like, it's one of those where when I was kind of filling out the win totals. Like, my first draft of the win totals, I had the Mavs terrible. And then I'm looking at the roster, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, they're going to win 40, aren't they? It's like, mm-hmm. they're going to be in all these games. So
if Wes Matthews is good again,
right.
I mean, that could be something.
Yeah, like, their starting lineup seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I don't...
They need a lot of luck as far as health.
Right.
But that's going to be the big difference maker for me. What do you think, Chuck?
I think they're treading water. If I have to pick one, I guess they'll be slightly worse.
I mean, like, if you told me...
I think that's... I could see that.
Yeah.
I'm going Parquet. If you told me Bogut was going to play 70 games?
Yeah.
Or even, like, 68?
Yeah.
I would say, okay, there might be a little better. Like, if Deron Williams stays healthy, Nowitzki healthy...
I just think they have some, like... I think guys like Dwight Powell are kind of sneaky good, too.
Yeah, and again, we give most of that credit to the Warlock.
Right.
Rick Carlisle doing his thing. So, yeah, the Mavs are an interesting team to watch. They don't have a lot of hope. There's not much future hope in this team, mm-hmm. but you're like, yeah, they might be good again. Like, they could make the playoffs again.
Let's talk about Houston Rockets. I think we might have a little fight on our hands.
Oh.
I'm going butter.
Oh, well, I'm going butter, too.
Damn it.
Butter.
When will we disagree? We will never disagree.
We disagreed more on the East, I think. But yeah, I think they're definitely better.
I like the way they're putting this team together. They're just going to do the damn thing they want to do.
Right.
And like subtracting an all-star like Dwight Howard is not going to hurt them. It'll probably help them. They're going to be able to play their game. I like the young players they've picked up. I like the old players they've picked up.
Prigioni.
They're going to be able to shoot and score.
Getting Nene for cheap.
Yeah.
Huge coup.
Yeah.
That's going to be great what he gives them. I think even if Eric Gordon and David Anderson, if they play 60 games, that's a big lift. Those guys can shoot the ball.
Ryan Anderson.
Rhino.
Oh.
It's all right.
Every week.
who is David Anderson?
He's an Australian guy.
I think he was a white wide receiver for the Texans 7 years ago in Hard Knocks.
There's the... I think he's an Australian basketball player.
But I think...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. That's the guy I'm thinking of.
The Rockets
have
kept the players that do what Morey wants them to do.
Yep.
Have probably added a coach that will do what Morey wants them to do.
Yep.
And then I think everyone liked their draft.
Yeah.
So, and they're not even going to have to play those players yet. And then the guys they lost, like, were kind of disasters anyways. I mean, if you really, really think Dwight Howard and Josh Smith are the saviors of your franchise...
Right. I mean, just culturally wise, like Clint Capella is not going to demand the ball. If he can cut down on his fouls and stay on the court, he's going to. Yeah,
that's
not
happening.
Well, yeah. But still, like he starts and then Nene comes in and then they're just going to light it up on offense. So, yeah, I think they're better. And also, they were so underachieving last year that it would have been more interesting if they'd won 50 games last year and we had to argue, like they're probably a little worse than that.
Yeah.
But like coming from barely being 500, it's like, yeah, I think they're going to be better.
Yeah, I think I don't know if the James Harden at point guard thing is going to work out for him. He's going to turn the ball over a billion times a game. So,
well, they don't have to. They still got Pat Beverly, so.
Yeah, but he's not an explicitly great ball handler.
No,
either.
But I mean, between Beverly and Prigioni, like, they'll be fine. I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be fun to watch. So I think they're butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three-way butter?
Three-way butter again.
Yeah.
Three pats of butter on that pancake.
That's the best way to do it.
Harden your arteries. All right, Keith. Are you afraid?
Talking about our team?
I'm afraid so.
Talking about our team, the Memphis Grizzlies. Now we're now we're doing a butter or worse based on like December of last year, like based on what their kind of team was supposed to be.
They ended the season, because it would have to, no matter what, if they started five.
Just depends on where do we start the talking point?
Yeah, what is the talking point from? Like, is it opening night of last year?
I think,
is it post?
I think it has to be, for purposes of actual analysis, we have to go from when the team was actually good.
What about if are they butter or worse from when they picked up Mario Chalmers and had Mario Chalmers for a week?
I'll allow it,
because that makes it harder.
Yeah. I feel like you're going to say butter just on the Tony Roten pickup.
Well, Tony Roten's gone.
Oh, he got waived?
Yeah. Tony Roten's gone.
Mm. Jesus, who did we keep from our acquisitions?
The team added Chandler Parsons. They kept pretty much the main other squad. They brought in fringe guys, James Ennis, Troy Daniels.
WB40.
Right. So, because they dropped the Wade Baldwin.
Here's what it comes down to me. It's the coach.
Right.
That's okay. Going to be the difference maker, because I don't think everyone's making a lot of the Chandler Parsons signing, which is probably the biggest signing in Grizzlies history.
Definitely.
However, I just don't think he makes that big of a difference.
Yeah. I mean, and the big issue is he going to play?
Right.
And that's it's so easy to say anytime anyone talks about the Grizzlies, it's injuries. But even ignoring that, let's assume decent health, you know, like 90% of the games played or 85% of the games played. I think this team is, their starting lineup, although they've already announced that Zach Randolph is now sixth man, but like if Gasol, Conley, and Parsons play,
right,
they're butter.
I think
you know, but like they're at least as good. They're at least the generalized, like a 50-ish win team if those guys play basketball.
I'm choosing to be hopeful, and it's mostly because I think we have a coaching upgrade. And I think that that our core is very, very, very motivated to play as many games as they can this year.
Yep.
Almost as a response to everyone's skepticism about how the team is put together.
Yep.
And missing so many games last year. Now, one injury could be the first domino and everything could fall apart.
Right.
I mean, if Gasol breaks his foot again, I mean,
you look at it as, there's a couple ways to look at it. Yes, as you mentioned, the coaching. We don't know if Fizdale is a better game coach than Jaeger. We do know, I think, already in
better
2 months,
motivator, I think.
He's a better communicator, a better motivator.
He's got Zebo coming off the bench
already.
He's
way more popular.
Right.
Like, all the reports out of Memphis in the preseason are, everyone loves him, everyone's happy. And people were not happy. There's some Marc Gasol was sulking around last year. Mm-hmm. So if all that stuff happens, they're good. Again, their five best players all have injury problems, all are old. Their bench is all completely unproven. So I guess they're butter from where they were. But
Let's get an unbiased opinion, Chuck.
I don't know.
This is another puzzle. I mean,
it is a puzzle. There's pieces gone and there's pieces added.
You know, my favorite part of that team last year was when they were basically full of just savage, you know, criminals.
Goon Squad.
With Chris Anderson, Barnes, and Lance Stevenson. And we wanted a lifetime contract for him. We didn't get it. I think I know we're not counting on injuries. I can't see this team with their age staying healthy for the entirety of the season.
There's like no way.
I got to go Parquet on this.
Woo.
It's so hard to judge.
The truth hurts.
What do you judge? Is it most of these teams are like, okay, that team made no trades last year.
Right.
They had their whole roster for the year. And then it's so hard to judge. If they're all healthy, are they better than they were when they started the year last year? Like, clearly they finished the year down. So yeah, this is a quiz.
I mean, they were a good team last year before the injuries hit. I mean, that's right. Evidenced by the fact that they basically didn't win a game for the
season. Even after losing Conley and Gasol, they held firm in like the fifth best record in the NBA.
Yeah, and they
for like two or three weeks until it finally
ended up making the playoffs when they didn't. You know, they were getting contributions from Matt Barnes's triple doubles, first triple doubles from Matt Barnes and Zebo in their careers. Like, guys, those kind of weird events.
I literally can't talk about them anymore. It's stressing me out.
Yeah. Grizzlies fan John here is stressing. And when we do our over-unders, when we actually have to assign win totals to them in the upcoming weeks, that'll be a little more interesting. But yeah, this is
be a little more clarity.
There is more clarity. But yeah, it is stressful, especially when you do the math, John.
Oh, no.
what are the odds?
Math is also stressful.
Like mathematicians, what are the odds that Zebo, Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons, Tony Allen, and Mark Gasol each play 70 games?
I'm going with 0%.
0%. 0%. like it's like, what is that? Like 1 in 100 times to the fifth power or something? Like what do we do
it
there?
It all rests on Deontay Davis's shoulders.
Yeah, Deontay Davis has broad
D-League shoulders.
Plantar fasciitis feet.
Oh,
can't
Jesus.
Even get in the game. All right, let's move on. That wasn't much clarity.
From butter to worse.
That was not clarified.
It was not clarified. From for the Pelicans, you can go butter, parquet, or ghee. For Alonzo Gee, I'm so sorry. Gee is also gross.
He pronounces it G. Just for the...
Too bad. Not anymore. Not on this show.
Well, so here's the thing. Will Alonzo Gee make the roster? Will he be the guy cut to keep Lance Stephenson? I have my fingers crossed. Nothing against Alonzo Gee. I really want Lance Stephenson on this team.
I want Lance Stephenson to get cut and then return to the Grizzlies as the strength and conditioning coach.
That's fine. Well, so news came out. News came out today as we record on Wednesday that Anthony Davis is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained ankle, because that's what he does.
So let's go parquet all at once, okay, guys?
I will say I think this team is better.
I do too.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Because they just brought in, what, 5 healthy bodies?
Right.
They brought in 5 legit NBA players.
The guys they brought in can all play a role.
They can all play NBA basketball.
Right. Which was not what they had last year.
Like last year, they had a handful of guys who were good NBA players, but they were fragile and had the backups were not there. This year, they're like, you know what? If Tyreke Evans and Quincy Pondexter can't play, we at least have this.
Yeah. If people think Rhino and Norris Cole and Gordon and Kendrick Perkins were doing something for them last year,
right,
they weren't watching very many Pelicans games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they'll be better as well.
I mean, obviously.
Although that injury, if he ends up missing serious time, I mean. Well, he's the straw.
I mean, he's the straw that stirs the drink. If we
got to get Buddy Hield on our fantasy rosters.
If Drew Holiday comes back from his time away while he's with his wife, if she does the brain cancer surgery and comes back from that, like if he can return pretty soon, they're going to be like way better. They could actually be quite good. But even as it is, I think they're definitely better. Hopefully, Alvin Gentry and his staff will kind of implement the stuff they wanted to do. Because again, they're going to have at least 8 or 9 good. Ish rotation level NBA guys, and if you add an MVP candidate type to that, they should be a good team. So.
Right. Although I really have no faith in Alvin Gentry, even after just one season, I have no faith.
Yeah,
I don't understand what he was trying to do.
He shook us to our cores last year.
Well, I think they're counting on a lot of contributions from guys that I don't think are that great. You know, they are serviceable players. Solomon Hill, if Stevenson stays on the team, Sacre.
Well, that's
for years, you know, this is probably our third year of waiting on Anthony Davis to become the next thing. And last year he didn't play to that level.
Last year was so rough, but I think you're right. Like serviceable players, like Langston Galloway, Etuan Moore, these are all okay guys.
Yeah,
like
they're okay. Etuan Moore is an upgrade over what they had last year.
Oh, absolutely. Like Tim Frazier will be a fine backup-ish point guard. So like, I think just having more bodies that we know will play makes them better.
Final team. And to me, the like simplest team to ever do every time, because it's always the same, San Antonio Spurs.
What do you mean? You mean they're always
exactly the same? They're either the best or second best team every year.
Oh yeah. Right. Well, I would think the butter or worse is not as easy this year.
I think it will be parquet this year, just because last year was a historically great team. I think they'll be similar in standings. And in wins, but like statistically, you know, advanced stats, they were one of the second like top 5 teams ever.
Right. I mean, and they had the whole thing where even when Tim, I read this today in the Zach Lowe piece, even when Tim Duncan set, they had a historically great defense.
Right.
So I know there are a lot of people pointing out that the Pau Gasol signing is a massive downgrade
defensively
for defensive rating and things. But man, they're going to eviscerate teams.
He'll be amazing on offense.
He's going to be amazing. Like Pop is going to have them. I think Pop spends his whole time on offense, which just blows my mind that their defense is always so good.
Yeah,
Pop's going to be awesome on this team. So yeah, I think they're going to be parquet. You know, a little worse. Tony Parker keeps taking steps back.
Worse in like the loosest sense.
But they're still going to be so good.
Yes, I think they're the second best team.
Yeah. So I think we're John and I are both a little.
I'll miss Boban. I love that Popovich had to like be like. No, dude, $27 million is way more than $3 million. Go, 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 go.
That was almost my steak and eggs.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Me too. I didn't want back-to-back Popoviches.
Popovich just telling him, like, it was almost like Boban didn't understand American currency.
Yeah.
He's like 3 or 21, and Pop's like, son, you need to bank 21.
Go, 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 go.
Like yeah. That'll set your family up.
Yeah.
You need to take $21 million.
And he went to like one of Pop's best buddies' teams. Yeah. So it all worked out.
So that's pretty good. So yeah, Chuck?
I think they can it's hard to get better than they were last year. They're going to be marginal.
Yeah.
We
hadn't even said margin. They were in this
margarine
episode.
Yeah, they're going to be the same. They're going to be dominant. They're going to be of a maniacal, efficient Illuminati machine.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
That we love watching, love picking apart. Those are pretty good. All right, so those were our butter. I can't believe they're not butter. We went butter. We thought a lot of butter in the West.
Yeah, like what we said can't even actually happen.
Right.
We'll have to figure this out during the over-unders.
No. I mean, we're not necessarily saying they're all adding wins. You know, it's just like you could be better and lose wins.
Yeah, I feel like, for example, the Kings will maybe have more wins but are still just continuing their sludge towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Just awful.
In the Golden One Center.
They make me so sad.
The brilliant sun. All right. Well, thanks you guys for listening. Check us out on Facebook. Like us on Twitter at Fast Break Break.
Give us 5-star reviews, not 1-star reviews because of Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
like
did
to...
not choose that.
A regular listener who gave us a 1-star review, hopefully, maybe go alter that because we threw a fit and Blog Talk Radio took all the Trump ads off all people. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
We helped break down that wall, so to speak.
Not that we're political on this podcast.
No.
Oh, you don't want to know my politics.
No, we don't. Mm-mm. That's right.
Pro waterboarding.
Yeah. John's politics involve blood sacrifices.
It helps that I don't know what waterboarding is, but I am for it.
That's great. All right. Well, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.